So there was some commercial for fucking something when I was a kid that it was like, there were the before and after Halloween dinners. What? Let's try that again.
Wow, why isn't before Halloween after, dinner a
before
thing?
And after Thanksgiving dinners, you just eat peeled grapes.
Spaghetti.
Yeah, raw spaghetti.
Cold spaghetti.
raw spaghetti. it's really tiny bones.
This person's hair has not been washed in a long time.
This guy got stabbed to death with some raw spaghetti. I'm Zach.
I'm Riff.
And I'm Kevin.
It's time for episode 83 of Video Games Hot Dog. It's been a while, fellas.
Sure has.
It's about time for episode 83.
About time.
I was gone.
Time
I was
to bust a rhyme.
I was in a bed, and it hurt every time I swallowed.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of blood coming out of my nose holes.
I had a similar thing, except instead of bed, it was the eastern shore of Maryland.
Ooh. There's still a lot of blood coming out of your nose, though?
Well, in a manner of speaking.
What manner of speaking would that be?
Yeah, which manner? Which manner? I'm curious as to.
If by blood you mean boredom, and by
is that where
by
nose,
I mean ass.
Yes.
Okay.
You were just shitting out boredom.
Yeah.
Kevin spent the break perfecting his Al Pacinco impression.
That's true.
Hey, Val Kilmer, could you turn on the air conditioner? Hoo-ah. Yeah, that's not funny. That means he's my little friend. Yes, okay. See how much better his was than ours? This is what happens when you practice.
It's like the audio version of one of those weird troll face cartoons.
Yeah, so you were traveling. Kevin was not traveling. Kevin was where?
I traveled here.
You were here, yeah. You came here and you were in a
working
building.
I have been working mostly.
Good.
Yeah.
Me too, since I recovered. Working and drinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Turns out the only thing holding me back from doing a whole lot of drinking was my deviated septum. I never realized until that Second City sketch that we watched that a deviated septum was a mark of being a nerd.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd never heard that.
Apparently that's what gives nerds a lot of nosebleeds.
I thought it was their special power.
Yeah, they can alter the flow of air.
Does it make their voices nasally?
Maybe.
I don't think
it makes their glasses always break.
Is it related to how Japanese people get nosebleeds when they see a naked woman?
And when they get a boner.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And they die of a nosebleed when they get a boner because it's that colorful.
Do you feel like your voice,
whatever that anime is,
has your voice quantitatively changed?
I don't quantitatively.
Yeah. Are you like louder?
Well, I mean, I did talk less during that period of time where it hurt real bad to talk.
So that was there was a measure of quantity.
Yeah. I don't know. I've lost the ability to turn the volume on my phone down.
Really?
Yeah. That button just quit working.
Huh.
That's a brand new phone.
I wouldn't have thought that was related to your sinuses.
Maybe they removed that button or the part behind that button.
Well, it's an unrelated quantitative change in my voice. If I am playing a recording of my own voice on my phone, I am unable to turn the volume down. I mean, I can pop it up and turn it down on the screen.
Right, in software.
And I can use my headset control to turn it down that way.
You should
is getting glitchy every once in a while.
Fun.
I should get a new fun. Yeah. I should. One that won't
keep
me up all night. Leave a mess in the bathroom sink.
Well, you,
I think I just confused
want
a new drug and I want a new duck.
You've probably had that phone for a little enough time that you could take it to the Apple store and have them fix it for free.
Do not taunt happy phone bomb.
Yeah, but you can't just take a thing to the Apple store. You have to do some bullshit with your microwave.
One does not simply walk into an Apple store.
That's true. That's true. I mean, you go in there, you're like, hey, I heard this is the place to get my phone fixed. And they're like, did you sign up to get your phone fixed 6 months ago? Apple Store is Apple Store is the Gen Con of the store.
You could do same day. You could today, tonight, you could be like, hey, Apple Store, I want to come inside you.
Whoa.
Whoa. Yeah.
And then 9 months later, they're selling these little boxes with your face on them. And
Huh. Zach what Minis.
What do they do?
I don't want to know. I'm scared now.
You open each of the boxes and just a thousand tiny little beetles with my head on them scurry out into all the holes in your woodwork. And then later they're coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah, so you could make an appointment tonight and go in tomorrow.
I have an app for that.
I don't want to do either of those things. Oh, okay. Sorry, my phone. I can't download apps on my phone. Well, just download the set up an appointment with a fucking genius app, and we'll set you right up. I'm like,
they also have a web page.
Yep. It is not nearly as complicated as you make it.
It isn't.
Seem.
I don't think that it's complicated. I think that it's bullshit. Those are two different things.
Well,
I mean, it's. So, it keeps things organized. It's it's just the electronic version of having one of those ticker tape take a number machines.
Oh, sure, except you take a number and maybe we'll get to you tomorrow or the next day.
Yeah.
But fuck that.
You get to take the number from the comfort of your own home.
Oh, guys, did I tell you about the sweet life hack that I discovered?
Oh, what's that?
So if you want a beer, you can put the beer in the fridge like a month ahead of time, and then when you go to drink it, it's like super cold.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It's a pretty good discovery.
Wait, so what do you normally use?
I learned about that from Cory Doctorow.
Is it just normally for storing body parts?
Sweetest life hacks. It's for expired yogurt.
Okay.
Or yogurt, I think they call it.
Oh, is that from when you like bought all the yogurt so you could get all the frequent flyer miles?
Yes. Yes. And fuck, what's that woman's name? Emma, what's the actress's name from Breaking the Waves? Chun Lee Campbell.
Huh.
Yeah, you know, that woman from Breaking the Waves, who was also in Punch Drunk Love. Anyway, have you guys been?
Pretty good.
Okay.
I recovered from my surgery.
Did you have a nice Christmas?
Pretty gracefully. I did. You were there.
Why?
Are you just giving me an excuse to talk about our nice Christmas?
Kevin is just the spirit of Christmas for
your mom came over.
Yeah.
Yeah. So to speak.
Yeah. You don't have to make an appointment to come inside her.
Wow.
No, I'm kidding. You do.
Yeah, you're going to wait in line.
Is there an app for that?
Mm-hmm.
Mom's around you.
Oh, man. Mom's near MILFs near me. How would they know? Self-described MILFs near me. Like, moms that are attracted to themselves.
Cougar hunter.
Narcissistic cougars.
It's like a dual-purpose app. It's like, when in Africa. Are there even cougars in Africa? I don't even know. It's like
I don't know where cougars are. I mean, isn't there only one species of cat?
I mean, there's one species of dog, but we give them lots of different breeds.
But aren't cougars and bobcats and pumas and stuff just regional variations of the same species of cat?
Yeah. Maybe. I know panthers are just the opposite of albino leopards.
Which one does Michael Jackson turn into?
I think that was a panther.
I don't remember. Puma.
Could have been.
Stop making up words.
Sure.
What are the purple ones?
Purple?
My Little Ponies?
Yeah. What was the opposite of Battle Cat? What was this? What was Skeletor's?
Oh,
Skeletor's Purple Panther.
Oh, I don't remember.
Wow. Yeah, that's a good question.
That's a tricky one.
Yeah. What was his name? And he didn't have like a pussy weak version like Battle Cat did. Cringer. Who would name their pet Cringer? It's not like it wasn't like, oh, I'm Prince Weakling of Eternia, and then I become He-Man. It's just a normal name. Why wasn't he like? You know, what's a cat name? Rex. Rex turns into Battle Cat. What is it? Cringer.
Dude in Final Fantasy VI named his dog Interceptor. That's pretty badass.
What was the dog's name in Mad Max?
Was there a dog in Mad Max?
There was because the dog...
In Road Warrior?
No. Yes, in the Road Warrior. Because the helicopter man tries to eat some of the dog food out of the can that Max gives to his dog using his big wooden spoon. I liked how all of the characters in the Road Warrior had a single utensil that they used for all of their eating.
Hmm.
And that was a way of describing their personalities. Mad Max, he's a guy with a fork. Like, that guy could poke four things at the same time if they were close enough together.
If they were
together.
Lined up, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
But helicopter guy, he's more of a wooden spoon kind of guy. You know, he's old-fashioned, like a helicopter. What are you doing?
I'm trying to find Skeletor's mount.
Are you trying to set
mount?
Up an appointment
to find out what Skeletor's mount was named?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I need a genius for this. Hey, genius. What was the name of Skeletor's mount?
Panthor.
Panthor, not Panthro was from Thundercats?
Yeah.
I've never seen an episode of Thundercats.
Wow, really?
Wow, really?
Yeah, they just didn't have it. Lion-o. They didn't have it on the TV when I was a kid.
Lion-o.
Is that Al Pacinco?
Yeah. Okay. It's a different role.
I wish I could remember more Al Pacinco roles. Was he ever in any Westerns?
I don't think so.
Was it he wasn't in...
He was the devil in that Keanu Reeves movie.
Point Break?
The Devil Wears Plaid?
Both of those.
What was that chain reaction? The one where Keanu Reeves and Elizabeth Shue were physicists?
Is that the one where the Earth is melting or something?
No, that was the one where I think one of them invents cold fusion, and then the government
the
is trying to kill them because
magic
of the
shotgun
oil
for killing demons with
conglomerates. Yeah, yeah, but lung cancer.
Yeah,
yeah, it was weird. I don't really understand.
A shotgun that gives you lung cancer?
No, it takes your lung cancer and shoots it at other, like, you know, like, I could throw some cancer at you. I could give you a bag of cancer.
I guess
I would not be giving you cancer in one sense, but I would be giving you cancer in the other.
They use lasers to fight bodily infections and stuff like that. Why not shotguns, right?
Sure, yeah. You know, it's more like the radiation. You have a radiation
They have
shotgun.
Those little shotguns that you fill with salt to kill flies with, no?
Oh, right.
Did those finally get manufactured?
I don't know.
I saw the Kickstarter, the Indiegogo for that, which I would like that, except I don't like killing flies.
Oh.
You'd have to shoot over your shoulder every time you shot something.
Oh, yeah. That's
there's a fly behind you, too.
Yeah. Oh, crap. Yeah, because it's like a Chris knife. You're not, like, once you've pulled it out of the holster, you're not allowed to put it back in until it's killed a fly. So you have to hit a fly with every shot, or you're just holding this thing for the rest of your life. Yeah, there's really a lot of pressure. I don't want one of those.
You could put fly food at the mouth of the sheath.
Oh, yeah, you could.
So
you just keep flies with you all the time.
You just wait until one lands and then put it away.
Yeah. So
kill two actions with one fly.
You guys been playing any video games?
I played over the break.
I just swallowed wrong. I swallowed a bug. I swallowed wrong. Hoo-ah.
I started playing Walking Dead, and I finished the first episode, which was pretty great, and then discovered that although I had paid for the rest of all of the episodes, I had not actually downloaded them.
Shit.
Yeah, so...
No. So did you have no internet access at all while you were on your
pretty
trip?
Pretty much not. I had LTG on my phone.
Is it seriously a swamp? You've described it as a swamp.
No,
is it a swamp?
I mean, it's
more of a morass.
It's at sea level, and they have to have ditches everywhere in case the tide gets unusually high, but I don't think it's literally a swamp.
So it's more like a delta?
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
So it's like right
delta
on the bay. So.
Who do you think would win in a fight between Delta Burke and Kirstie Alley?
Delta Burke, Breathhead.
Berkeley Breathe would win in a fight between Delta Burke and Kirstie Alley.
So what I actually ended up playing was I played almost all of Final Fantasy VI.
Which one's that? Is that the Super Nintendo one that's good?
Yeah, that's the one with Edgar the Machinist King. And the
Spoony Bard. Now, the Spoony Bard is from the second one.
It's something else.
No, but that's like five. Which one was?
Yeah, five.
It was Final Fantasy II.
Six is the one with the castle that burrows under the desert.
Okay.
And so,
is that a metaphor for something?
No, it is literally just a castle that burrows under the desert.
I mean, it could be. It's literally in the story. It could be a metaphor. You don't know.
Okay, it's an allegory, you mean?
What's the difference between an allegory and
allegory
a metaphor?
Allegory is like a long-form metaphor, right?
Is that a longer form? I don't know. Anyway.
I can never do one of them has like a flatter snout.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there's the American allegories and like Indian allegories. Right.
I never did learn to tell the difference between a Scotch McGee and an American McGee.
Right.
I really need to consult the Audubon Society.
Breaded and fried, I think.
Yeah, they are. But they're served cold, which is weird.
Yeah.
You don't normally encounter that.
So that was pretty good. I got up to like just before you go to Kefka's Tower or whatever. I got bored of trying to find all the dragons, so I stopped playing, and then I realized that I wasn't actually sure if that was something you needed to do to get to the end or if that was optional, but at some point I'm going to have to go back and get a walkthrough and finish that.
I don't know much about Final Fantasy. Was there a ruby weapon involved in any of this?
No, there was an Ultima weapon, but it was a boss I encountered through the course of the story rather than being an optional boss like I think he is in 7.
Was there a spaceship called Lord British for some reason?
No.
Or Road British?
No.
Okay. They should do a Final Fantasy Salamander crossover.
How do the stories of the Final Fantasies connect at all, or are they all completely separate?
They're all entirely separate unless you get like how there was a Final Fantasy 10 and a 10-2.
Okay.
Those are in the same universe. Within the same. Yeah.
So they don't have like characters that cross over or anything?
Nope.
Wow.
Never?
Well, there's always a guy called Sid, but he's always a different guy named Sid.
Interesting.
Is he ever El Cid, the national hero of Mexico?
Not that I've noticed. Isn't that the guy in Street Fighter?
What about Sid Vicious?
I think you're thinking of Vega.
Oh, okay.
Who do you think would win in a fight between Vega and Lou Bega? Also, the fight is the primary contest is how many women's names can you say?
So, and the other thing I played was I played about the first third of Etrian Odyssey 3.
Is that one of those Game Boy games where you have to make your own map and kill like
DS,
a billion
game,
slimes?
Yeah, it's basically just exactly the same as like Wizardry or Might and Magic or one of those old first-person dungeon crawl.
Seems like there's way less world and way more grinding in those, in my experience, than Might and Magic at least. I never played any Wizardries.
Could be. I didn't have any grinding in this, but that may have been because I was so being so thorough about completing the map.
Huh. I mean, I remember completing the map of the first level and then going down to the second level and realizing, oh, I need to gain 10 levels. If I'm going to survive down here, and that just means I'm going to have to spend like 12 hours grinding.
I never had that problem. I may have just been moving through it more slowly than you, but by the time I was done on a level, I had enough experience to be able to handle, albeit with a little difficulty, the next level.
I mean, it could also just be paced different. I think I only played the second one, maybe.
Oh, that could be.
Have you guys ever tried playing Etruscan Odyssey?
No.
How is that?
It's really hard since no one has been able to translate Etruscan.
Yeah, I guess that would be.
There's also Etrigan Odyssey, where all of the dialogue is in iambic
really,
pentameter.
Really crappy rhymes. Yeah. And everyone is yellow for some reason.
Why is everyone yellow?
Etrigan was yellow in the comic books.
Okay. I'm only familiar with him from the Alan Moore Swamp Thing series where he's barely in it. Pretty good, though.
I haven't ever read very much Swamp Thing.
The ones that Alan Moore was writing were just fucking great. Like, really, so really much better than it had any right to be.
Alan Moore never really understood
why.
That story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kevin and I got into a discussion about story today. We'll bring it up when we talk about Paper Mario.
Yeah, we were burning the cast.
Paper Mario. What else?
That is that was
because you were limited to your iPad.
Yeah, I was limited to what I had
threads.
With me. So yeah.
Did you play any games on like graph paper?
No.
Did you play what is that game called? Lines,
dots and lines. Yeah.
That was
just a game made of dots and lines.
That was fun for a little while, but it gets pretty solved.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I ever got to like a competitive level with it, but I feel like there are probably some strategies that you could come up with.
One of those things like Nim, where there is
a bunch of rats.
Yes, there is just a dominant strategy, but I never understood it because I'm stupid.
I don't know what Nim is.
It's the thing where you have like rows. You have like a row of 3 matches, a row of 5 matches, and a row of 7 matches, and you can take as many matches as you want. And the person that takes the last match loses.
So I would take all but one match.
you can only take from one
single
row.
Single row.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a little more complicated than that. We used to play a game called The Shit Pit on a piece of paper where you would draw a base on one side with three guys in it, and then in the middle is the shit pit, which is just a big oval with some turds drawn in it. And then you draw like barbed wire fortifications. And on your turn, you took one of your guys and you drew a line, a straight line as far as you could go in whatever direction, and then draw the guy again. Here's a little circle. And you were trying to make it into your opponent's base. It's very finely granular, which resulted in a lot of arguments about whether you were actually able to get through the shit pit or not. The shit pit was just a big obstacle in the middle that you weren't allowed to cross any other lines, was the gameplay.
Huh.
Right. So you could build a lot of bullshit mazes out of barbed wire on the other guy's territory, but then we were like, no, you can't do that. No bullshit. That was a rule.
Weird.
Yeah. This pit is for every kind of shit except bullshit.
Why did bulls get chosen as the animal that provides feces of dubious nature?
I think it's just a thing that you encountered a lot of when you were the kind of guy who was complaining about things, which is to say,
an
American
farmer. I
also
say horse shit.
Sure.
Yeah, that's also horse shit. So it's, maybe it's stuff that results of...
chicken shit also, right?
Yeah. So these are all like domesticated animals. Pig
chicken
shit.
Chicken shit. Chicken shit. You don't ever hear pig shit or.
Yeah.
Sow shit.
Dog shit.
Hog shit.
Cow shit.
Hog wash. So chicken shit is like piddly, right? Yeah. It's like this is trifling and you taking it seriously is chicken
cowardly.
Shit.
That said, a single chicken can create a tremendous amount of shit.
That's true.
So...
My, you'll be sad to know, Riff, that all my chickens have died.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so no more chicken shit.
Yeah.
Are you going to get more chickens?
I don't think so.
But he is going to get more chicken shit.
Yeah, that's weird.
Weird, yeah.
Yeah. I think that maybe there was more chicken shit appearing in the yard than my chickens were producing. I think maybe the neighbors were thinking, oh, that guy has chickens. He has no idea how much shit a chicken produces. Let's start... offloading our chicken shit there, one dollop at a time.
Tiny, tiny little catapults.
Yep.
Just lobbing them into your yard.
Huh. They could just train the chickens to, like, shit into a fan. What have you been playing, Kevin?
I have not had a ton of time to play video games, but I played the Old Spice advert game, Dikembe Mutombo... saves the world or whatever, at least the first three or four sections of it, and I was surprised by how much of a game it was, but it also wasn't a great game, but it was pretty funny.
It was funny. It was too hard for me. I couldn't get through the first level.
Really?
There was some of it was tricky until you learned what
you had
was
to
going
learn
on.
You had to learn some of the systems.
There were parts of it that were funny, but I like
you didn't
so
like it.
So much of it was just so topical in the sense of like referencing things from the news from that week and stuff, which, you know, I guess, sure, that's what it is.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that was kind of impressive. They just themed everything based around what was going on. Like, so they like had sort of a vague idea what they were going to do.
It demonstrates a really rapid development cycle.
But like, I mean, like there were just some random funny things, like his arms leaving one side of the screen and coming back in the other side because he's really tall,
mm-hmm.
right? That's funny.
I remember him eating a lot of like chicken legs and stuff.
Yeah.
Hot dogs.
Plates.
Eats a lot of hot dogs, yeah.
Yeah. So I thought that was, you know, that was definitely worth having played. I feel like that was, you know, a little cultural experience.
I never went back and played the fourth minigame.
So you beat a level of it, right? And you saw
several levels.
Them like adding time to...
Yeah, the video of some machine in real time carving additional rings onto a Mayan calendar.
Yeah, which was kind of neat. You know, it was an interesting, like, it was probably the most interesting advertising game that I've ever played.
What was it an ad for?
Old Spice.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to use Old Spice.
Okay.
I like Old Spice.
I mean, it's not going to make me try it out either, but... I appreciate that.
So I never have to buy deodorant again.
Oh, right.
I wanted a little travel size deodorant to keep in my shaving kit for when I'm traveling, because you know, a full size deodorant, I don't have that kind of time. So I went to Amazon. I like, because you can't always find, you can always find like a single use, it's probably not really single use, but you can always find a travel size deodorant at a, at like a Target or a grocery store or whatever, but you can't always find your brand.
Okay.
You know, so I wanted, sure. I wanted the kind of deodorant that I use, but in a smaller quantity, yeah. But I had to buy 24 mini deodorants to get Amazon to send them to me. So
nice. Yeah.
You gave some of them to me.
Yeah. Neither Kevin nor I, cause we use the same deodorant. Neither of us ever has to buy deodorant ever again.
I don't know that that's true. It's
probably not
true. I'm guessing that the vast majority of the space in that deodorant is the applicator. Right, because there's like the lid
applicator.
Part, and then there's the mechanism to like to wind it so that it, or screw it so that it like,
yeah, like it can only be
half of that at, yeah, best, and it's probably not even that.
Well, yeah. Maybe not. It depends on how it works. There is a hole drilled through the deodorant, right? So you could have it mostly be deodorant. The wheel is connected to a screw. The screw moves a plate up it. The plate, everything above the plate is deodorant.
Right.
So, yeah. I don't think that works the way that we were thinking that it did. Welcome to Deodorant Hot Dog.
Another game that
if anybody wants a mini deodorant, send me an email.
That's a bad promise to make.
Well, he didn't really promise. He just...
Oh, that's true.
He all he said was, if you want it,
yeah,
email me.
Yeah, I'm just doing a survey.
He's not gonna
four out of five video games hot dog listeners want a mini deodorant.
Another game that I have played that I have enjoyed is Space Team.
Oh, Jenny told me about that. It sounded pretty fun.
Yeah.
I downloaded it.
The video game tacos have played that, so I won't go into it too much, but it's good.
It's a good game.
It is free, so you should definitely.
It's free and it's fun. You should buy all the cosmetic ultra packs. Yeah,
yeah.
Just to give that guy some money. I think his name is Henry.
He should do a single player version.
No, he shouldn't. It doesn't make any sense.
It wouldn't make any sense.
No, you could totally do it. You just have like 10 screens of control panels to scroll between and a robot voice.
That is
not the game.
Wouldn't be the same game.
The game is really to sit around a table or a kitchen or
it's
whatever.
Got yelling just, at dudes is core to the Space Team experience.
It really is because it is team. There's no I in Space Team.
Yelling to dudes, not at dudes, really.
Spice Team,
yeah. Well, that's a different game.
There's Old Spice Team.
And then the only other video game besides the assignment that I played was I just finished up Link to the Past, the Zelda game.
Yeah.
Because I had finished that like two-thirds of the way through when we played it as an assignment. I was like, you know, I want to finish this. Huh. And my only note that I wrote down was fucking Silver Arrows, man, fuck. Because I got all the way to the end of the game and spent like half an hour trying to figure out how to defeat Ganon.
Oh.
And I didn't have the goddamn fucking arrows. And so I just had like... It was super annoying.
Where were the silver arrows?
They were in the door that you had to take the super bomb to, because it was not a door. It was like there was a cracked part of a wall that you had to.
On the pyramid.
That's the fat fairy.
Yeah, that's the word. And then the fat fairy where you she still didn't. So there is a bomb. There's a wall that has a crack that doesn't respond to a normal bomb, which is weird, right? And then you have to go after at a certain point, your house, which is a bomb shop, offers the super bomb, but not up until that point. So if you've been there and written it off, you don't necessarily check it again. And then you go to this, you finally do figure out that you need to take that to this cracked wall. And then it's just this fat fairy who's like, throw something into the pool, and you don't know what you're throwing in, right? Like it was a series of unclued things. Like I knew I needed silver arrows, right? Because there's like a little speaker on the wall that tells you, oh, you need to use silver arrows to defeat Ganon. And I was like, okay, where the fuck are they? And I was like, that was the first and only time I had to turn to a spoiler for the game.
And the fortune teller doesn't.
I didn't point you in that direction.
The fortune teller is who tells you where to go.
Yeah, probably. Fuck that.
Okay, so when you're saying it's unclued, you mean that there are clues that you didn't deign to look at.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically.
All right.
Nothing up to that point had required it. I hadn't needed it for anything. I hadn't needed any fortunes to like figure out how to do anything else.
So your complaint is that the game was too easy.
No. My complaint was fucking Silver Arrows, man, fuck.
Okay.
As I said. That's it. Yeah. But then, yeah, other games that I have played that were not video games were some board games, Through the Ages, which is a fun game, and I really like the theming of it.
It's like Civilization, the board game.
Yeah.
Real, real confusing and
bad directions,
written rules.
And extremely poor choices of terminology.
It's like it's a worker placement game, but your workers are not what you're placing. There are things called workers that are not what you're placing.
You place a worker and it becomes a building.
Yeah. But and a building, the thing that has the name of a building on it is a tech and not a building.
Yeah.
So that whenever the rules refer to a building, what it means is a worker on a tech.
Technology.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it is confusing as fuck. And it took us, there's like, the instructions are divided into play this simplified game, then play the
advanced game.
And then play the full game. And each one adds yet more mechanics. And like I felt like there were plenty of mechanics in the basic game. I was like, you know, this could be a game by itself, wouldn't need to add anything, and it would be fun.
It could just go on further down the trees. It didn't really have any military actions to speak of. So, I mean, it would have just been multiplayer solitaire. Although, I guess you're buying things, and that makes it so the other player can't buy them.
Yeah, there was definitely some strategy to, like, how you picked cards out of the available card.
You get an earlier crack at them, but it's more expensive. Like, that's pretty neat.
There are tons of systems, and like the theming is really good, and it was a fun game. And I think maybe going back to it, having played it once and knowing the rules, I would be more sort of generous to it. But it was the sort of learning curve was so steep; it was off-putting. But then we played the best board game, perhaps ever, Lords of Waterdeep, another worker placement game. Super, super well designed, good theming. You have fun the whole game doing stuff, even if you're losing. Like you always feel like you're accomplishing stuff.
Even if it's just fucking Kevin over.
Yeah. Yeah, we played two games of it after Christmas because Zach got it as a Christmas present, and in both games, like anytime people had like a PvP action, like it was almost always directed at me, whether well, or not course, I was in the lead.
Because otherwise, you're going to win.
Well,
you're meant to be like a sort of a shadowy political figure in this Dungeons and Dragons themed city, and you have your tavern where you collect orange cubes that are warriors and black cubes that are thieves and white cubes that are clerics and purple cubes that are wizards, and then you complete quests by sending your dudes out on them, which just you spend some dudes or some gold or both, and then you get something in return. It's either victory points or more dudes. You know, like send fighters to rescue clerics.
Yeah,
you can send clerics to convert animals into fighters.
You get these like intrigue actions, which are like sort of outside the scope of the normal actions. You get one of the actions is to buy a building, which becomes a new place that workers can go. But whoever built that building gets a side benefit whenever anybody else uses it.
So you can buy like a wizard factory, and then that becomes yours. And it's a place where somebody can send one of their agents on their turn to collect some wizards, but then they have to pay you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the buildings are almost always
refill the machines with wizard putty.
Better than the regular action spaces. So there's a reason to go to them. It's very well balanced. It's just super fun. Highly, highly recommended.
You know, it's thematically cool because you're killing beholders and shit.
Yeah, and the box is really cool. Like, it's well crafted.
It really, like, there's like a diagram in the instructions. It's like, punch out all the pieces, and then here's how to fit everything in here, where there's just a little tray for each individual type of counter, and everything fits really well,
and
the box
accessible.
Closes all the way, and it's really,
really
well done. Setup is very fast.
And then for Christmas, Zach got me a game from maybe 10 or 15 years ago called Nemesis Factor.
Hearing you talk about that on the other show, I went and ordered one for myself.
Oh, yeah. You could have just played mine because it has saved
Well,
spots
but you're
for
taking
four,
it back to Chicago,
four
I'm
people.
Assuming.
I don't have to.
Oh, well, now I can play Riffs. Oh, when it tells you to pick a color, don't pick blue.
Yeah.
Because blue is the one where it doesn't save your progress.
Oh. Okay.
I mean, you can pick blue if you just want to practice, but once you put it down for a couple of minutes, if you've chosen blue as your color, it will. Yeah.
The first puzzle is hit the buttons from order smallest to largest. And then the second puzzle is now do it backwards.
They don't tell you that, though. Like, you have
sure,
to
you just
it
have
out.
To figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm super excited by it. It's like a sequence of 100 puzzles. Where you're interacting with this sort of odd-shaped object which has five colored buttons on it, and it makes noises and lights up. And I've only sort of gotten through the first fifth of the puzzles, and they start out really simple and then pretty quickly start getting more tricky. Nothing that was like in like super crazy, but like I'm thinking that there might be a lot to it, you know, but maybe my hopes are probably greater than what they will actually
well,
have.
You can certainly imagine one of these is better than, you know, Mattel was going to produce.
Right.
But that's just because your imagination is super special.
Yep. The thing is, like, if you produce something like this and people pick it up and, like, play with it, it's going to be one of those things where people are just going to, like, deconstruct it. Like, they're going to rip it apart to find out, like, how it works. Mm-hmm. And it's... I don't know that you can put a physical object in the world that would have mystery to it in that way, you know? Maybe if it was made out of some metal that people couldn't... Like, if it was cast...
Not without your... I don't know, if your code was super obfuscated or encrypted, then you could do
I don't know.
Computer stuff. But
how you'd manage to do that, though. Magic, maybe.
Mm.
What about you, Zach? What have you been playing?
I played a shitload of video games while I was recovering from my surgery. Largely, I played a bunch of Mistcraft.
Nice.
I finally got that working.
I watched you play that for a while. It seemed really compelling.
It is really neat. Yeah, mm-hmm. I wish that's how Minecraft worked.
Once that guy gets it, like, finishes all the features he wants to put into it to the point where he can release a 1.0 build, I'm going to see if I can figure out how to get it onto our server.
It just seems like it would be a big hassle because it's one more thing to have to wait for an update on every time there's a server update. Yeah. This is one downside of software as a service rather than just as a product that's like finished in a box, you know, is that like every once in a while we all have to stop playing Minecraft because we updated our clients and you have not yet updated the server.
you have to stop playing the...
On that server.
That particular server. Yeah.
Which, why would you? Although I did, you know, all the Mistcraft that I messed with, I just did on my own world. And it was actually it was a lot of work to get, like, because I had to get, like, you know, enough cows that I could get enough leather to make mm-hmm. books readily yep. and, like, you know, enough reeds that I could farm paper to make the books. And
I had a big pit in the ground filled with chickens.
Yeah. then I played a little bit of Far Cry 3, and I was still just whatever. I had my computer crash a couple times and lose a bunch of progress because of the pretty bullshit way in which the saves work in that game. And I kind of gave up on it in disgust.
What is that?
The saves, you can't really save. Like, it does...
Oh.
It saves on its own sometimes, I guess. It's got, you know, sort of a console mode. You can save as long as you're not doing a mission.
Okay.
But otherwise, it's just kind of checkpointed. Huh. Yeah, it's messy. You know, and it hadn't been a problem. It wouldn't be a problem if my computer wasn't so prone to crashing because there's something wrong with the SSD that the OS is on, which I really need to fix by replacing it with the replacement drive that I already bought and installing Windows on it. I just haven't done it.
Man, I'm gonna have that enjoyment in a couple of weeks in anticipation of BioShock Infinite coming out. I bought a new video card and a copy of Windows 7.
You should have just bought a PC.
Nah, this is cheaper. My computer's perfectly good.
Yeah, but if you have to fix it, you're gonna have to make an appointment with Kevin's mom.
It's all right. I've got the app.
Then I played a ton of World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
I played
a farmer now.
I played all the way through the expansion. Got to the level cap and then just started farming.
Yep.
Immediately started playing.
Giant smile on your face.
It's so good.
It's
man.
So Harvest Moon.
Yeah, except better because you're not like trying to figure out who you're gonna marry or
you're afraid you're gonna miss
a festival or something. You're just like, oh, I just want to do all these quests for these people who want me to go stomp on monkeys and get...
Where is the farm physically located?
In Half Hill in the Valley of the Four Winds.
So do you have to go there to do these quests? It's like not something you can just like...
You do, yeah.
Pull out of your pocket.
It is a little weird. I don't really understand how the phasing works because it seems like there would have to be other people who were doing this farming stuff at the same time as me, and why can't I see them?
Everybody's farm is in that same physical location. It's just phased.
It seems like it. Well, I don't know. Where's yours? It's Farmers Yoon's farm, right? I mean, it's not really your farm. You're like helping this dude become a real farmer. By doing all of his
by
work.
By doing
for
all
him.
The work, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know that he's becoming a real farmer and that he's just becoming a slave owner. Maybe?
I don't think he's a slave owner. I wouldn't put it that harshly.
Are you free to leave at any time?
Yes. And I get to pick what crops I plant.
So you're a sharecropper.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't always plant Mogu pumpkins. I guess maybe if you wanted to level up your way of the brew, you'd plant some witch berries and some jade squash.
Which you just recently did.
I did. I don't know what happens if you leave them too long. I don't know if they like rot
I don't think
on the
so.
Vine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't been playing it super judiciously. I find that more compelling than like running dungeons.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why. Wow. I just like a farm.
You have some sort of weird...
Running a dungeon takes a long time. This farming stuff, you can play for like 15 minutes, get your shit done that you want to get done that day, and then go on and do something else.
Have you tried the...
Can you gift other people?
I don't know what they're like called.
Tools and stuff?
The three-man.
Oh, the... It's... Fuck.
They're out in the world?
Encounters? Scenarios.
Scenarios.
Yeah. Yeah, I've done several of those. You know, they're okay. You get like a box with a piece of gear in it that's not for your spec every goddamn time. Also not a high enough level to be a significant upgrade for getting you into the Raid Finder. I feel like getting into the Raid Finder is so far away that I don't want to do it at all.
You have to do, it's not that bad. On the auction hall, you can get real cheap 450 PvP gear, and that will get you into heroics. And
well, I mean, I got into heroics just with the gear that I had on by the time I hit the level cap.
Well, it'll also shore you up so you don't have to do as many heroics.
Yeah, I guess.
Because the PvP gear, unlike the previous expansion where the PvP gear was, I don't know, whatever the local equivalent of 450 was at the time, but it was not actually as good as a real 450 because the PvP stats replaced your actual useful stats.
Is that not true anymore?
It's not true in this one. In this one, they're in addition to.
And why is it that you can buy PvP gear in the auction house?
Because they're all crafted.
Oh.
It's not rewards for...
What does it mean for them to be PvP gear PvP? If they're not PvP stats and you don't earn them by PvP?
No, they are PvP stats, but they're PvP stats and PvE stats instead of just being PvP stats.
I see. I mean, it just seems like I've been playing...
So it's you're not considered
I feel like
I've
played a lot at
the
level
this.
Cap, and I have a third of the valor points necessary to buy a single piece of... the good valor gear, mm-hmm. which is just, I mean, which is high. It's like 489 purples or whatever.
Yeah.
Which I guess, you know, a couple of those would crank the average up because what do you need? Like 460 to get into Raid Finder?
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It seems like those goals are so far off that they're like more or less unattainable. Like I think I would have to go run a heroic a day for a month to get one piece of gear.
It didn't take me nearly that long.
Hmm.
I mean, I couldn't say offhand how long it did.
You're
take,
super
but...
casual, though. You know, as World of Warcraft goes,
it does strike me as weird that I am super casual as World of Warcraft goes, but probably have a month of real time logged on this character, like a month of my life.
Over 10 years,
8 years, but still, that's like 1% of my life. 1% of the time that I have been alive, I have been playing World of Warcraft.
Yeah,
like
and actively killing skeletons
playing
and
World
shit.
Of Warcraft. How is that fucking casual by any crazy stretch of the imagination?
Well, because you're also doing it while you're drinking beer and
masturbating.
Masturbating, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mr. and I are pretty hot.
Yeah.
Like Russians.
You don't like the Russian accent?
How much do serious World of Warcraft players play?
12 hours a day.
So they spend like, you know, 3/4 of their waking hours playing World of Warcraft?
No,
they have 36-hour days? How do I get in on that?
They
12 hours isn't 3/4 of 36. I'm saying
how do I get in on
3/4 of their waking hours, implying that they're only sleeping 6 hours a day.
I think they only sleep 4 hours a day. They work for 8 hours.
And that would be 2/3, not 3/4. None of us know how to do arithmetic.
They only sleep for four
hours.
Well,
this isn't math hot dogs.
So Matt. I very much enjoyed the leveling content in this. And they have figured out a way to get me compelled to continue doing the normal story quests after I've hit the level cap and I'm not getting experience for them anymore. A, because they actually have pretty compelling characters and stories in them. There's a lot of stuff that's phased, but unlike Cataclysm, where you'd go into a zone and there was just fucking nothing there until you had done all the story quests, these Pandaria zones are divided up into a whole bunch of little sort of parallel vignettes. And they're just neat. Like, they have cool, likable characters in them, which is not a thing that I remember ever really encountering
in Cataclysm.
I mean, I guess, Chromie was kind of a likable character when you would run into her across various quests and story arcs and stuff. But, like, you know, and I don't know if it was because the stories in Pandaria are just sort of more personal, because it's like, oh, this guy has come back to his homeland and figured out what the, like, sort of distaff branch of his family has been doing with his ancient brewing techniques. And there's a lot of, also it's just like a lot about, like, beer and leisure and, and harmony, you know, and it's like, I can get behind that. All the war is shit you brought with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's all these, like, evil spirits everywhere that are pretty cool. Like, you're drawing, like, physical manifestations of people's emotions out of them and fighting them. And that's I can get behind that.
Cool.
I like the black-on-white Rorschach kind of aesthetic to them, too.
Yeah. Yeah, they look, you know, they look...
You mean the pandas?
The evil things.
I mean, they look like something out of, in this sort of... In the style of that kind of stuff in, like, Twilight Princess or Okami. Mm-hmm. You know, like, they've got that sort of, like, brush stroke aesthetic to them. I don't know. It's neat. I didn't think that I was going to be particularly interested in it thematically, but, like, I just feel like the writers have done a pretty good job.
Yep.
There was some poop.
There is some poop.
Yeah, just put some flags and some turds.
Yeah.
There's a quest where you put a flag and a turd because of somebody... So there's just this random thing where there's these grummels, which I don't know what they are. I don't know if they are pandas or if they are like
otter,
weasels.
Yeah, like guys, sort of
otter men. Remember that show Otto Man?
No.
He had a little, it was like a, like an ABC show that lasted like one season, I think, where, sort of like superhero was like a Tron guy. He had this little sidekick named Cursor that could turn into, like, make me a car. Huh. And it would just, like, draw out a wireframe of a car, and then it would turn into a car. And then I guess he would probably solve crimes. I don't know.
Wow.
Or prevent crimes. Anyway, these are otter men. And there's one of them that's like, all right, this is just a mountain where these coffee beans grow. And so you have to, like...
Go beat up some.
No, you have to go, like, so this one guy has discovered that if you feed goats these coffee beans, they will shit out the coffee beans, only they're better.
Wow.
You know, it's like a real thing. And then there's another guy that's like, yeah, ever since some asshole started feeding the goats coffee, the Yetis have been eating the goats and going fucking crazy and raiding our coffee stocks. Yeah. And it's like, you know what? That there is actually some thought put into what happened here in a way that is kind of narratively obvious rather than just there being a bunch of disconnected it's like it very much feels like they let a guy design the content for a zone.
Yeah.
And
so that everything is interconnected and
everything is everything is like similar, right? Like there's the zone with all these like the bug people in it that you befriend, and part of their like historical background is that throughout the ages, like every swarm will pick one paragon, which is like the best warrior, the best leader or whatever, and they will preserve him in amber for a time when he is needed in the future. Neat. And so you go around the zone in all of these quest lines finding the ones from various ages and waking them up to deal with this sort of like incursion of the like negative emotions have infested one of the swarms, and so it's become really evil and warlike, and you're fighting with the good guy bugs. But you have to go, like, wake these dudes up, and then each of them has, like, a buff that they will give you permanently while you're in that zone, and they're crazy powerful. There's, like, there's this one guy that you say, hey, I want your enhancement, and you just get this thing where once every 30 seconds or once every minute, if you get two mobs within 10 feet of each other, he will come down and do this cleave on them that just, it's like cuts half their hit points off.
Wow.
Like, it, you know, it's just, and they've just balanced the zone so that these things aren't mechanically broken, but they're super interesting.
Yeah.
And it's just, there's this kind of whole overarching deal in that zone that is just very thematically well put together. The zone where all the farmers are, almost all of the quest lines result in you getting these just weird toys that yeah. put things out into the...
There's
like,
a
I,
ton of weird little
those
toys
are like my favorite
the
things
expansion.
In
yeah.
World of Warcraft. Like getting... I did all the Brewfest stuff
the
back
keg.
Years. So yeah, so I get that keg where it's like, I've just got this thing where I can put a keg on the ground and people can click on it and get a beer. And it's like... Most people wouldn't carry that around, so when I put one on the ground, like, the people in my group maybe haven't seen that in a while, and they're like, oh, fun. I've got, like, two of my five bags now are just filled with, like, random holiday shit, so I can throw snowballs at dudes and put costumes on them and shrink them and turn them orange and shit. Yeah. Like
the pony keg was the first time that I ever got so drunk in World of Warcraft that the view was... far enough away where I just couldn't even discern my own character.
And yep. Everything's so blurry, yeah.
It's, like, it doesn't seem like they really limited how far out you can get the scope there.
Yeah.
Eventually, your character starts puking.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, I've never seen that.
I think they added a bunch of puking animations in Wrath of the Lich King because okay. That was when, like, there just got to be a lot of puking in normal day-to-day World of Warcraft gameplay.
Great.
I think that was probably poop guy. Or maybe there's poop guy and puke guy. But yeah, it just, I don't know. There's the thing, you just like, you can light a big stick of incense on the ground, and then anybody who gets near it, the sort of edges of their vision become like white because they're under the influence of the incense. It's like, that's fucking cool.
I like the one that lets you shoot eye lasers at a critter and it swells up and explodes.
I did not do that quest because I didn't want that item. I did not want to have that item.
It's so good against, like, cockroaches and spiders and
stuff. No. You know what's good against cockroaches and spiders? Leave them the fuck alone because they didn't do anything
They're yellow. Zach does not like to attack anything with a yellow nameplate.
So I used to, unless there's a quest for it, unless I have to, these villagers are starving, so I have to go kill these stags to give them some stag beef. That's how that works, right? Man, I used to, and I mean, I need to go back and do some more of this. There was a food that you could make in Wrath, I think, that would take a critter and just bring it under your control as one of your pets for like 5 minutes, and then it would just sort of fade away. And whenever I was in a dungeon and somebody would make a point of like just killing all the critters, I would just start running ahead and like taming them all so that he couldn't kill them. But then I ran out of that stuff. I don't want to go back and do a bunch more like Dalaran cooking dailies so that I can get more of those. Well, leave them alone. Don't shoot eye lasers at them and make them explode, Riff.
I'm sorry.
Didn't do anything to you.
I end up having to kill a bunch of critters sometimes because of them sharing spawns with the thing that I'm trying to get the opportunity to
fight.
That
is not true.
Not
the critter. Oh,
yeah.
Fuck.
Battle
they actually
critters,
made
yeah.
game system centered around the critter
oh,
spawn.
Shit.
Wow.
Okay.
It's not okay. It's not okay. You're a battle pet collector. You love critters so much that now you just have to indiscriminately slay them.
I love how like they made Pokemon slightly less 6-year-old by naming them battle pets.
Yeah.
It's now somewhere like 9 or 12-year-olds.
I also just played a ton of iPhone games while I was sort of moaning in pain and
chip
or
chain.
Super fucked up on Chip Chain. Jesus Christ, Chip Chain is so fun. I love it. I keep playing the daily game just to see how good I can do, and I like pretty much always manage to get in the top 20 every once in a while. I can get in the top 10 for that. I don't know how many people are playing it anymore, and like you by giving them some money and sort of getting unlimited gems, it really changes the way that the game works because you have sort of arbitrary access to not arbitrary like in the daily game you can buy one of each card to sort of mess with, which is really huge in terms of like getting high scoring long combos.
Interesting.
Man, it's so fun. It's just such a like interesting abstract that like I never got into drop 7. I never got any good at drop 7. You and I feel like you played Drop 7 the way that I played this.
I was not particularly good at it, but it Like I tried to get some like reasonably high scores on it, but it's that's pretty tricky too. Chip Chain, like I felt like I could almost get into a steady state if they didn't do the black squares every 100 turns or whatever. I could just sort of indefinitely.
Yeah, I've stopped playing the long game because of learning what you have to do to get the highest score in that, which is just to sort of arbitrarily keep the numbers low. You know, and it becomes like a sort of an interesting thing where you are risking it getting out of hand for more points.
Right.
Right. But the longer the game goes, the like starting to engage in risky behavior because you're bored with this game because you've been playing it for 4 fucking hours over the course of 8 or 9 bowel movements over 3 days. Yeah. Is not as fun as, like, I feel like if a pusher luck kind of game should be a game that no matter what is going to be over in 5 minutes, as opposed to like
the problem. One of the other problems with the game that I experienced or felt was that, like, if you did give them money, like the only thing that was really compelling me to move forward was like collecting the currency. And if I just got unlimited currency, I don't know why I would want to play it. Like, the gameplay was not compelling enough to me. It was their, like, sort of weird leveling
system.
Yeah.
I just really enjoyed the gameplay.
Yeah. That's interesting.
I found another game that's called I think it's Pixel Defenders Puzzle. Yeah, that's what it's called. It just says PD Puzzle on the phone. It is basically Tiny Town, except you're killing skeletons. It's great. Although something weird happened, I think it crashed in some weird way. So I've like beat the first 10 levels, but the 11th level is not unlocked. Huh. And I don't know what that's all about. It randomly marked one of the previous levels unfinished. And I thought, well, maybe that's it. So I went back and beat it. But then it's still, I don't know what's going on. I played probably 100 games of the iOS port of San Juan. Which is a card game.
Based on Puerto Rico?
Yeah. So apparently what happened was these guys made the board game Puerto Rico, and then they decided, I want to make a simpler version of this that is a card game. And they had two wildly divergent ideas about how complicated it should be. And the one who wanted to make it really simple made San Juan, and the one who wanted to make a more complicated version split off and made Race for the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Is that...
That is, I mean, that is
you're,
how the
you're
story
more familiar with the story than I am.
No, that was how it was told to me as well.
Okay. So. San Juan is an interesting card game. And
does it have AI for single player?
Yes, yeah. And it's pretty challenging. Like,
I may have to try that out.
Yeah, as I recall, it's kind of expensive. I think it's one of like $6 or $7 games.
That's not too bad.
But I was like, you know what? Quality. I know I like this game, you know, and I don't regret spending however much that Ticket to Ride cost or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. I like San Juan is a game that I pretty quickly got to the point where I felt like the only way that I was going to get better at it was by memorizing the deck. And I was like, well, maybe I'll just play a bunch of games of it and let that happen on its own rather than like actually looking through the cards and memorizing them.
That was how I felt about Carcassonne.
Yeah, and I just never got interested in it. I was like, fuck this. I don't want to play this. And I didn't want to feel that way about San Juan because I really liked San Juan. And so... I'm interested to see what's going to happen the next time I play it with people after spending all this time playing it against like the super hard AI. I didn't win very regularly by any means, but I always felt like if I came in second against the like maximum number of murderous level AIs that I was doing pretty good. It is weird how cutthroat they get. They will never, like, because it is a game where you, like, select a role and then you get to perform that role with some sort of bonus and then everybody else gets to perform that role. And the high-level AI will never do anything that confers any advantage on you. And I don't know if they, like, collude against you or not.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Like, I don't know if they will just not do something if it confers an advantage on anyone or if they, like, specifically kind of gang up on you. I could see either way making sense.
Well, I mean, from a designer point of view, I think it's more pure if every player is acting in their self-interest, every AI player is acting in their self-interest instead of just trying to make the game hard for the human player.
Right.
So,
but I mean, what is the goal of the human player selecting a difficult AI if not to make the game difficult for the human player? Like, you don't really care.
It depends. Like, if
because if they're acting against each other, then it makes it less challenging for you. Right? So
a little bit.
If you wanted that, why wouldn't you just play it on medium difficulty?
Because it would more realistically simulate playing with humans.
Yeah.
I guess.
Is that what you want?
I think so. Isn't the age of the single player game an anachronism that
what is it? What did he say? It's an aberration.
Aberration. Yeah.
He's wrong.
Yeah. F that.
Raf Koster's wrong about everything. Hey, wouldn't it be cool if... No, Raf. No, it wouldn't.
The Raf of Khan.
No. Raf of Koster.
Raf of Koster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
Put those little worms in your ear.
I'm sure that I played other stuff.
Yeah, I think you probably did.
But I don't remember what it is.
Ace of Spades.
Oh, yeah, I played a little Ace of Spades, I guess. It's okay. We should play that and talk about it later, though.
Yeah, I think you're right.
All right. What's in the news, Kevin?
Ah, that's a good question. It's been several weeks since our last show, so some of this news spans back a bit.
Just do 50 Hail Marys. Score 30 touchdowns.
San Juan and Puerto Rico on the App Store are half off for a bit.
Puerto Rico's on the App Store?
Apparently so. That's what it says here.
Man, I would play the fuck out of Puerto Rico on a phone.
You would?
It might be iPad only.
Well, screw that.
I will look and see.
So, THQ, which we talked a little bit about, they had that THQ bundle on the Humble bundle. Humble THQ bundle, I guess. They did, in fact, file for Chapter 11 and were purchased by some company for like $60 million and are still supposed to produce games. Like, that's the theory. That's the promise. But I don't know like what form that's going to take. The Chapter 11 lets them reorganize pretty significantly.
Turn your sound off, Riff. Stop tipping into the mic.
I doubt that the mic can hear it.
Oh,
I can hear it, and they can hear me whining about it. So it's in the podcast's best interest for you to shut me up.
Why did you not turn that off immediately after getting your phone?
Jesus Christ. It's like watching somebody's grandma send a text message.
I like it because, I don't know, it makes the typing easier.
Easier?
Yeah, because you get more feedback.
Are you sure it doesn't mean it makes you more like somebody's grandma?
Well, not necessarily.
Valve announced that they are, in fact, confirming a bunch of rumors and releasing a console PC eventually. They have not put any kind of date on it yet.
When it's done.
Yeah, when it's done. So it's like, it sounds like it's going to be competitive with consoles, but not exactly the same as just a standalone Xbox or PlayStation or something. So I don't know what there's not a lot of details yet from what I understand.
The world is horrifying.
And so in what way?
Nothing works the way that it did when we were kids, and it's confusing. I used to be with it, and then they changed what it was.
So what are you referring to in specific?
Anything, man. I got a Vita, and it was fucking crazy.
PlayStation
I got a
Vita
for Christmas. Yeah. I don't even know anything on there. What? You go and there's all these menus, and it's like, what is any of this? I just want a video game to be on my...
Did you plug one into the
face?
The slot?
No, the only one I had was the game that it came with that I wasn't interested in.
Oh.
Yeah.
So then what did you do?
I think I had to use my phone to load a web page.
Yeah, you definitely don't live in the 80s anymore.
Yeah, I had to use my phone to do something to reset my password on the PlayStation Network. So that I could then use my computer to enter credit card data so that I could buy Sound Shapes. And then I played Sound Shapes for like 2 minutes.
Okay.
I forgot that I played Sound Shapes.
Yeah.
I'm going to play some more of it.
I heard you playing it.
Yes.
It sounded very repetitive.
Well.
You were constructing some sort of level.
The sound was very repetitive. You know who else is very repetitive?
Yeah.
Jeroen, though properly pronounced more like Jeroen, if you want to use that for a dumb joke. Jeroen, though properly pronounced more like Jeroen, if you want to use that for a dumb joke.
Oh, that reminds me of Sir Weird, bestest supporter ever. This guy is awesome. No, seriously.
Huh.
Sir Weird, bestest supporter ever. This guy is awesome. No, seriously.
It is going to take us 10 years to get through these.
That's unfortunate, but also gratifying in the fact that we will be around for 10 years to satisfy this particular...
That's true.
Like, yeah, maybe we cannot be killed until this hat is
until this
free
hat
of names.
Is empty of names.
Oh, well, then put all the names back in there, fellas. Next.
Secret World. They had some sort of crazy cataclysm event that coincided with the end of the world in the real world that everyone...
Ooh, up next is pandas.
...died in. And then they went subscription free. So now it is just sort of a... You just have to buy the game, and then it's free to play for as long as they can stay afloat.
They also made it so you can repeat the puzzle missions, which doesn't make any fucking sense.
What does that let you do?
Just get free experience for typing in a solution that you've already figured out. That's super lame.
Seems dumb.
Yeah.
Huh.
They caved to popular demand, I guess.
City of Heroes and Glitch have ceased to be things.
Well, City of Heroes went down way before we...
It was like a month and a half ago.
Yeah. It was like three episodes ago.
No, they were talking about it.
No. We did a video broadcast of the end of City of Heroes where we were all, our crime-fighting team, dancing around in tuxedos.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You don't remember that?
No, I don't remember that at all.
No. Oh. You were the masked madman.
Okay.
In a tuxedo, and Riff was El Beard.
Yeah.
In a tuxedo.
See, now all the listeners will know that you're making this up, because obviously I would have had a female character.
Ah, shit, yeah.
Was
yeah. And I was Frampton Comes Alive Man in a tuxedo.
That's an excellent name.
It's a good superhero, right?
Yeah.
Was Point Narf there in a tuxedo?
He was.
How about Tim Rim?
Yes, both of those Kickstarter supporters, who we are deeply ingratiated to, were there with us in our tuxedo superhero squad.
Well, that's great. So it shut down, and then Glitch shut down, and then Family Guy Online announced yesterday or today that they are going to be shutting down in a couple weeks as well. They didn't even get out of beta.
They didn't get out of beta. Although their cash shop was open.
Okay.
It's a little weird. I don't
think beta means anything anymore.
I mean, KOL's been in beta for 10 years.
Right.
Family Guy MMOs just sounds like a really ill-advised idea.
Well, not necessarily.
I think it'd be funny if every quest was just some sort of non sequitur segue.
Probably a lot of them were.
Randomly generated.
I played a little bit of it. It was very by the numbers. You know, it was just go find these things out in the world or kill these monsters out in the world and
really?
Bring them back to Lois. I don't know.
Just kill monsters and bring them back to Lois?
Yeah, yeah.
Huh.
I don't remember, really.
Okay.
I remember it being kind of boring, and there were too many people there for me to really be able to...
Do anything?
Yeah, well, I mean, you couldn't, like, it was really easy for the NPCs to... It was very difficult to tell the NPCs from the other players, and because it was very crowded, it was also, like, just a lot of important, you know... Game
Did
world
you play
elements
on, like,
were
the
obscured
first weekend
by other
or something,
dudes.
Or?
Yeah, well, I played during one of the beta weekends, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
So I don't know. I mean, it might have been in an open beta of some sort. You know, it might have been such that anybody who wanted to play could play, and they just realized that nobody wanted to play. You know, I mean, because you make
possible.
It like you make an MMO that runs in a browser, and it looks like, you know, 2005 era World of Warcraft, and it plays like 2005 era World of Warcraft. I think World of Warcraft came out in 2006. But anyway.
Uh-huh. But if it had come out a year earlier.
Yeah, this is what it would
in an
like.
Alternate universe.
I know it might have been 2005. I don't remember. Did we buy The Office in 2005?
I don't remember. I can't measure time like that.
World of Warcraft came out before you started working for me, so
probably 2005.
Probably 2005. Yeah. The picture of me on the wall from Chuck E. Cheese is from 2005.
Oh.
I see it every time I pee. So I know that we existed as a company in this building in 2005.
I was at Chuck E. Cheese when that picture was taken. So.
Right. And World of Warcraft was already...
that goddamn long?
Yeah, 7 years ago. That picture is 7 years old.
Oh,
and
God.
I am as handsome as ever. I look at that picture and I think, who's that handsome devil? And I turn to the mirror. I'm like, same as that handsome devil. That's who. Like, that one's got
his
dick
out. Who let all these handsome devils in the bathroom to watch me pee?
Yeah, it was pretty weird. Yeah, so RIP Family Guy Online, I guess. Oh.
November 2004.
Oh, well, damn. That game's getting old as shit.
Yeah, it is. Wow.
Anyway.
So it'll be 10-year anniversary in a couple of years. I wonder if what kind of blowout they'll do for it.
Did you guys see what the 20th
blow
year...
out the tire on your stupid steampunk goblin motorcycle?
So do you know that like they have like rewards for people that work at Blizzard for 5, 10, 15 years or whatever? Mm-hmm. Did you see what the 20th year reward is? Like that they finally just started getting to 20-year employees. They're awesome Lich King crown things. They look pretty
It's different. They do a different one every year. Like, there's a different sword every year.
Oh,
so, like, your 5-year sword is not necessarily the same as a guy's 5-year sword from 10 years ago. Yeah. So,
oh, I didn't know
so this is just the first crown.
Hmm.
I think that's fucking cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't our buddy there just got his sword?
Sword or
recently,
shield?
Right? Yeah.
The first is like sword, shield,
five,
ring.
It's 5 years and you get a fucking sword. Yeah, a ring. Mm.
But then crown. Yeah.
Sure.
It's cool. Yeah.
Crown.
Ring
and then after
25
years, you get a cross. You just get nailed to a special kind of cross.
I mean, ring isn't as cool an object as
statues.
As a sword, but it's something you can you can wear around.
Yeah, you wouldn't, though. It's like, oh, we gave you a fedora just in case, like, working at Blizzard for 15 years wasn't enough to stop you from ever getting laid. Here, have a sweet orc fedora.
I mean, people wear their gaudy, huge high school rings or whatever.
No, they don't really.
I mean, I would wear my college ring if it
does.
Fit.
Your dad's a nerd.
Well, I'm sure most of the people who work at Blizzard are also
nerds.
No
way.
Nerds.
They're cool dudes. the first question on the application is, are you a cool dude?
Or
and
are
then
you a
there's
nerd?
A footnote. We'll know if you're lying, bro.
And then the last bit of news that I had was that for the first time ever, a video game soundtrack was nominated for a Grammy. It was Journey's soundtrack.
Are you sure it wasn't Journey's soundtrack to the video game Journey, the arcade game from the 80s?
Blade Runner.
Did Journey ever win a Grammy?
I don't know.
What about an Emmy? Was there ever a soap opera about Journey?
I don't know.
Okay. Was there ever a band called Another World? One Life to Live.
I'm sure that there
was
been
a video
band.
Game called Another World.
Okay. Was there a
was
board
the
game
soundtrack to
called
that?
The Bold and the Beautiful?
I'm pretty excited about the
Bold Dungeons and Beautiful Dragons.
Upcoming like sci-fi movies in 2013.
Yeah, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of post-apocalypse happening in the
After Earth and Oblivion and the Lone Ranger.
Yeah, the Lone Ranger seems pretty sweet.
Oh, my God. Lone Ranger as a post-apocalypse. That would be great.
Yeah, I'd be like, what's that? Deadlands? The pen and paper RPG and the...
Have you seen the trailer for the Lone Ranger?
Uh-uh.
Do you know who plays Tonto?
No.
Johnny Depp.
Nice!
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty impressive.
That post-apocalypse Tom Cruise one looked pretty good, too.
That's Oblivion.
Is that Oblivion?
Yeah. Yeah,
that looked
a
lot better than I would expect from a Tom Cruise movie.
Well, Tom Cruise is great.
He's pretty good.
Mission Impossible is great. Legend was pretty good.
First Mission Impossible was good.
The last Mission Impossible was pretty good, too.
He does all his own stunts. I don't know if that's true.
That part of Minority Report where he eats the gross sandwich, that was pretty good.
Gross.
I mean, that makes the whole movie. And then that old lady is weird for no reason and makes out with him. And then the other guy is weird for no reason and sells him a virtual reality ticket. And another guy is weird for no reason and replaces his eyes.
I don't know that they're weird for no reason, right? Like, aren't they all...
No, they're all weird for no reason. That was my primary complaint about Minority Report is that all the characters are just super weird for no adequately explained reason. Like, they're not on screen long enough to be as quirky as they are.
It's like a punk rock kid just weird for no reason.
No, because that's fitting into an archetype. Like these were things that were so strange.
Future or something, right?
So you don't get to do that.
You
either have to tap into an existing archetype so that there is some context for the character's behavior, or you have to make the character more relatable and less just fucking weird for no reason.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true.
Like,
I mean, In an actual future society, the punk kids are going to look weird and different and not necessarily the same as what we have now. But in a movie about that society, that has to be explainable pretty effortlessly.
This is sort of a weird thing. Like, I feel like
they're... Did you watch The Hunger Games?
Yes.
What did you think about them? Like, that was a bunch of people looking weird for no good reason.
They looked weird for no reason. They didn't act weird. Like, plot-relevant characters didn't just exude crazy personality quirks at a rate faster than they earned.
Speed of sound.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think it is that unusual. Like, in Blade Runner, there was that, like, the Tinker was kind of just creepy and weird, but, like, understandable, I guess.
So. Yeah, he was explainable just as a creepy, weird shut-in.
But he also got more screen time. I mean, you actually saw him, and his character got to be developed. Like, there was... Minority Report was from when... shit just happens super, super fast in modern sort of like high budget movies, right? Like the summer blockbusters have, I am guessing that relative to a movie from the 80s, the average like summer weekend movie here has probably three times as many characters in it with lines.
I don't know if that's true. I feel like there is some sort of threshold where people cannot keep track of.
No, and we've reached it. There are some threshold at which you cannot keep track of which of these giant fucking crazy flying things is the good guy robot and which one is the bad guy robot, and then you just check out.
Yeah. Are you excited about Pacific Rim?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Yeah, that does not look fun at all.
I don't know that.
That's
one.
It's the Guillermo del Toro where like Godzilla comes out of it, and then it turns out we've got giant robots that we bring out. Mm. And it's like,
it looks ridiculous. It looks like what was the like robot boxing movie?
It's Real Steel.
Real Steel.
Yeah.
Although apparently that wasn't as terrible as the previous.
Maybe I'm just getting old and curmudgeonly, but I don't think that I am wrong that like you wouldn't make Ghostbusters today. Ghostbusters by modern movie standards is just plodding and incredibly slow and rife with scenes where nothing happens except dudes talking. Which is what 99% of the movie is, as opposed to, like, even, like, the fucking Hobbit. Oh, my God, we saw the fucking Hobbit. And
which is a different movie than the Hobbit.
Shit.
It's the porn version.
There's shit-face hippie wizard.
Yeah?
He's pretty good.
I like him. Radagast.
There's that one, he gets high and then his eyes cross. Oh, he eats so many mushrooms. Look, his sleigh is being pulled by rabbits. Wait a minute. Why the fuck is this even here?
Yep.
We don't get Tom Bombadil in The Lord of the Rings, but we get you, we get Radagast,
well,
the brown.
Because they took three movies.
He's brown because of poop.
Three books and gave them each a movie. They had to cut stuff out, and then they took one book and made it three movies, so they had to add a ton of extra stuff. Ridiculous.
I felt that like everything that wasn't added was really good.
I did not differentiate it that much. Like I actually thought it was fine. You know,
I didn't remember.
It was overall good.
Yeah. I didn't remember them going to Rivendell in The Hobbit.
They definitely do at some point, right? Because
maybe on the way back they go to Rivendell. But
I think it was on the way out.
I think so.
But it's been so long since I've read it. Because I think
Tolkien only knows one story. It's like, oh well, we're in the Shire. Where should we go? Oh, I know, Rivendell. You always say that.
I don't think I had noticed the name of Rivendell being sort of very much about like where it is in the geography.
Mm-hmm. Right? Cuz there's dells and rivers.
Well, it's in this like cleft, this like crack.
Mm-hmm.
The hidden mm-hmm. valley.
And
that's for all that.
Yeah, they make
dressing.
That ranch. They make that delicious ranch dressing.
And then you have to sneak past the Rock'em Sock'em Mountains to get out.
Yeah, that was
Jesus
ridiculous.
Christ.
Like, oh, right. Yeah, these things are here now. Oh, and remember when Gandalf used a moth to call some eagles? Let's do that again.
Yeah.
And also.
Yeah.
Fucking get the eagles to take you from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. For fuck's sake.
What's up, whitest kids you know?
I feel like eagles are just dicks.
Yeah, they just wouldn't do it.
Yeah, they
just like,
wouldn't. Why do they show up
at all? You want us to drop you in that volcano? Okay, cool. No, fuck, it's the wrong volcano. Now you've just postponed this war by a few thousand years and boiled all the hobbits for no reason.
Yeah, you know,
yeah, they would do that on purpose. They're like,
in any
what?
Volcano.
What do you think, eagles can see real well? Gave you that idea.
Nothing is going to... You could throw that ring in any volcano and it would stay out of any kind of...
No, you specifically have to throw it into Mount Doom because that's where it was forged. That's how things work.
No, no, no. I'm
if
not
you
want
to destroy an iPhone, you have to take it back to China.
No, no, no. But so I'm not saying that the ring would melt.
No other hammer will.
I'm just saying that like it would like who's going to go into that volcano to gather that ring up?
Lord Sauron. Who do you think, man?
Lord Sauron.
Yeah. The necromancer. No, he like. You think he can't do that? Look, he can just be like, yo, Saruman, why don't you possess this Balrog? Like, he's made of fire. He
or,
can, you think
or
that
like
Balrog
the volcano will explode and spray. Yeah, it'll eject it, and there'll be like a rock and some quarry that winds up having a ring embedded in it.
Yeah, the
and
ring
some
wants
asshole
to be
will come
the ring
make
wants
a brick.
To be found. The ring
on the
wants
side
to be
of his
found,
house,
right?
And the house gets torn down, and the
so like Tom Bombadil is older than the world, so he probably can't catch fire because he's older than fire. So like Saruman could be like, yeah, well, I'm gonna kidnap Lady Goldfinger or whatever her name is, and then brainwash you, and you're gonna have to dive into this volcano and get the ring. And okay, Badillo, he will say, he's just so agreeable. He'd probably just do it anyway if you asked him. He'd be like, hey, Tom Bombadil, why don't you dive into this volcano and pick up this ring? Oh, okay, I don't care. Whatever.
How many people do you think will suddenly hate me if I say out loud that I think Tom Bombadil was so goddamn dumb and that I'm glad it wasn't in the movies?
I like Tom Bombadil. I think I will hate you for
I'm
expressing
glad that there were fewer, like, that there weren't all those songs, because I think that would have driven me a little crazy.
I liked the dirge. I liked the dwarf dirge.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can sing as many songs as they want as long as it's like super deep voice harmonard. Yeah. They were playing the harmonard.
I mean, they did cut some of the songs from The Hobbit. They didn't do that dumb 15 birds and 5 fir trees or whatever it was when the orcs are attacking him and they're stuck in the
also that's not how that thing happened with the trolls in the book.
Close,
no,
because right?
Gandalf starts imitating their voice in the book. Gandalf imitates their voices and gets them arguing with each other, like they all
true.
Get captured and they're
I'd
all hung up in
that.
Bags, and Gandalf shows up at the last minute and like delays them by pretending to be one of them and starting an argument.
The Hobbit doesn't do it.
No, I don't think so. I think that
I
he is.
I thought he was involved.
Yeah.
But, you know, taking license with it to make it more compelling. Gandalf can split rocks in half real easy, but like has a really hard time destroying armies.
Sure. Or rocks if the rocks are being mean.
Right.
Oh, wait, no, he wasn't there. That was when Gandalf was like, fuck you guys. I'm leaving for a while so that there can be some threats.
Right.
And what was he doing? You know, he just went and he was hanging out.
Yeah, he was like schmoozing.
Talking to Galadriel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mind talking.
Trying to get her to raise some assassin child.
Yeah. Explaining that the plot of the next movie was beginning in the prequel.
Mm-hmm. They eat so many mushrooms. You can't trust that guy. He's got shit all over his face.
I would love to see that scene with Christopher Lee doing those lines in that voice.
Sure, yeah. Jim Varney as Saruman. Ah, why didn't we get that? See, this is why everybody ought to do everything before they die, just so if somebody thinks of something later, then it's already done.
It's already done?
Yeah.
Do it on
this is why
film.
We need the singularity, so JesusBot can make us the Lord of the Rings starring Jim Varney as Saruman. See, just do a perfect simulation. After the singularity, you think there's anything stopping you from doing a perfect holographic simulation of Jim Varney in whatever circumstances you feel might be improved by Jim Varney? And again, if you are JesusBot and you know which things are the funniest, you know that everything is funnier with the judicious application of a holographic Jim Varney.
I don't even know what to say.
It's indistinguishable from the real thing. Imagine a world in which Jim Varney is not dead anymore.
And he's everywhere.
He's in everything. He plays everything. Ah.
I don't know that would be a judicious application.
Is well, to have it depends him on it
in
depends on
everything
the...
and doing everything. Like
Look,
every part of every
if,
film.
If you judge that the optimal usage of Jim Varney is 100% Jim Varney everywhere, always, then that is a judicious application. I think you are prejudiced against.
Are you Jim Varneyist?
No, I think you just don't. I am beginning to doubt your loyalty to JesusBot.
I think you mean Jim Varney.
Man, I can't wait till this singularity. Ray Kurzweil is totally at Google now. He's teaching computers how to read, and pretty soon, it's all over. It is all over. It's all over. It is going to be so ironic when Ray Kurzweil actually brings about the singularity, and JesusBot's first act is to just kill Ray Kurzweil.
Everything.
Well, no, he just kills Ray Kurzweil first. Oh. Right? I want you to know, Ray, you're going to be the first to die. Ah, man. That is like a Twilight Zone. It just writes itself.
Why does it have to be JesusBot?
It just will be.
It can't be BuddhaBot.
No. BuddhaBot.
It needs a certain sinister quality brought about by association of the Christian Church.
Hitlerbot?
No.
Herringbot?
No, this is not a joke.
Herringbot.
Yes. Keith Herringbot. Look, we're going to cover every surface with the optimal bullshit stick figure paintings. Also, I have robot AIDS. All right. The assignment. Paper Mario.
Paper so Mario. God,
you guys, this game has such small numbers. It's beautiful.
I did notice that. Yeah, I was like, oh man, Zach is loving this game.
Extremely tight systems. Very crisp cause and effect. Super, super sweet RPG insanity.
Yep.
The fact that so many of the numbers are one means that it's very easy for it to become zero. And that becomes very dissatisfying.
No, because the difference between zero and one is a critical difference in terms of like saying these are things that work and these are things that don't.
Not necessarily.
One being a meaningful number means that the difference between one and zero is a meaningful difference.
But sometimes that is only because they have a defense stat of one and your attack does one damage.
Yeah, but that's great. That means you need to use a different attack.
Huh. I found that pretty dissatisfying. Like, I was okay with the idea with this attack just doesn't do anything if you approach it. Like, you can't hammer a Koopa or whatever because you need to jump on them so they're on their backs first, right?
I mean, how is that different than it just doing zero damage to
Because it could be 100. The hammer could do 100 damage, but they're just immune to it. Right? Like, that makes more sense to me than... for some reason.
So it makes more sense to you that you can step on an ant and kill it, but stepping on a tank 100 times won't kill it, then this tank just isn't going to take any damage from your foot, no matter how many times you do it?
I guess I'm confused.
Me too.
Yeah, this metaphor. I didn't really follow that example.
So, like, until they are vulnerable, they don't take any damage, right? Because they've got this shell, right? And so,
right. And what's wrong with being immune to damage below a certain threshold? Nothing's wrong with it. That's how the world works.
Well,
that's
how instead of the defense just reducing the amount of damage that you do, it negates it entirely, right? So, like,
but only if it is low.
It's reducing it.
You're saying that because the numbers are so slow, reductions are dissatisfying instead of just. What? Like, what is the point of reducing the damage that you can do if you can't reduce it below one?
So, having a defense of one means that if you have an attack of two, it's reducing the damage by 50%. If you have an attack of one, it's reducing it by 100%.
Okay, but don't think about it in terms of percentages, which is not how people think. Think about it in terms of what's one minus one? Oh, it's zero. Okay, that makes sense. I know what's happening here.
It makes clear,
smooth as a mountain stream.
I don't know. It makes the defense of one like dramatically different. Delicious. Based on whether you're doing one, two, or three damage, right? Like that's
glistening Coors Light cause and effect in RPG systems.
I found it pretty dissatisfying in that way, honestly. And then so the other situation in which numbers go to zero pretty quick is trying to get experience from monsters that you outlevel. Like,
yeah, don't do that.
Well,
this ain't no jerpg.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to grind. You're not supposed to kill 50 pigs.
I just want more stats. I want higher stats.
You can't have more stats. You can't have more stats because the numbers are because the numbers are low. The numbers are deeply, deeply satisfying.
Deeply, deeply low.
Yeah. You guys should continue to talk about low numbers for a second while I find this article that I meant to bring up before the show started.
Let's see. So, just some initial observations. It is an extremely long time between when you load the game and you are doing anything meaningful, right? Like, there's a long sort of pre-story or whatever, and then you finally get control of a character, but then all you can do is wander around and talk to people, mm-hmm. and that you can talk to a lot of people, and then you finally get into a fight, which is unwinnable. The first fight you have is just you losing.
Are you sure?
Yes, because you can't beat Bowser. He hits you for 10 damage after 3 hits.
I didn't even encounter that.
It's possible you didn't actually play Paper Mario.
No, I did.
You definitely start. You start with a fight that you can't win.
Yeah. So you start the game in a house with Luigi. Is this ringing a bell, Riff? Did you actually play the assignment at all?
When I started the game, I started out at Rogueport.
I have no idea where Rogueport is.
Well, maybe I was playing the wrong game.
I think you were playing the wrong game. Were you playing the GameCube version? The Thousand Year Door?
Oh, yeah, I think I was. Which one is the one where the robot spies on Princess Peach in the shower?
I think this is you're making some stuff up.
No, that's a real thing.
No, I think this is fanfic.
Yeah, this emulator that you were mentioning, I had never heard of before either.
Oh, my God.
Maybe this is...
Where am I? I guess I was playing Thousand Year Door, so oh well.
That's really funny.
Yeah, well, I mean, we were going to do this show when you were gone, so you just didn't. You weren't.
So, I mean, I didn't get a chance to play it until last night, and I got like 20 minutes before I started to get sleepy.
Yeah, Rogueport is Thousand Year Door. Well, fine then. Question about it being Paper Mario. What is the point of it? Why is it Paper Mario?
Why is it paper?
Yeah. What is the...
They liked the visual aesthetic from...
Yeah.
There was some... You should read this interview. This interview about Paper Mario Sticker Star.
Okay.
It's good. It tells why Sticker Star is so bullshit.
Up to this point, I did not play through the entire game. I retrieved the first star and was on my way towards the second one or whatever. And up to that point, which is pretty significant distance into the game, it was like not important to the game at all that the characters were one dimensional or two dimensional, right? Like that they were paper, right? Like
they play with it more in the Thousand Year Door. Like there are places where you turn sideways to go through narrow spaces
or
and
fold
stuff
yourself
and
into a paper airplane.
Like that would make a lot more sense to me. But like just having it be a weird random like
it's just a visual. I mean it's a visual aesthetic that it I think what it did for me was it made it so you could have a nice looking sprite based game on the Nintendo 64, which is a system on which most games look like total bullshit. Because it was just early 3D.
Huh. Because some stuff was 3D, and like all the environments are three-dimensional.
Sort of.
Well, fire is three-dimensional.
Yeah, there are two-dimensional elements. The bushes are flat.
Right.
And you interact with those. And some things, there are things that unroll and unfold. And
right. It's, and the environments are, like, the conceit is that the environments are made out of, like, paper craft, kind of.
Yeah. But not always.
Not always, yeah.
I mean, they hadn't had a lot of time to explore the implications of it being what it was.
It just seemed like a strange choice to me because it was this weird aesthetic thing that didn't seem to actually have any meaningful impact in the game. And,
Well, I mean, how much impact did the aesthetics of Super Mario World have on the game?
It was never a thing that was like, why is it like this? I never asked that question about that game,
Yeah, okay.
That's all, right? Like,
so, I mean, it seems like the problem is in you and not in the game.
Maybe.
Why are you asking so many fucking questions?
All along.
I really liked the rewards for exploration. There were... not in addition to like just hitting everything and that kind of thing, but they were like, you know, if you need to walk around the edge of everything because sometimes there's like stuff off camera that's like a little path that takes you to something new.
Yeah. And sometimes there are there are systemic rewards for exploration too. Like you are given access to a lot of like the new systems that unlock in town way before you need them for any plot related reasons. And so it's like, you know, I've done the first dungeon. And so now all this, like, there was this silent clearing of the garbage on the southern half of the town, which just opens up all this extra shit that you can do.
Yeah, like crafting food now.
Yep.
You make a lot of mistakes with that.
You do.
And it takes a long time.
Yeah, that is the one problem. That system is besmirched.
That is not just the one problem. Besmirched inventory management in general bad is interface. Pretty rough. Like putting stuff into or out of the like storage unit in the shops is awful, 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 awful.
So the gender politics of this game are
gender politics.
I don't really know what I think about them. So in between each of the levels, in between each of the main chapters, you have like a vignette where you are Princess Peach.
Or you see her at least for partial
time. No, you are. You always are.
No, in the very first one, you don't get any control.
Well, not in between the prologue and the first chapter, but in between the chapters. And, like, so they made this decision that
she doesn't
you...
She get to jump.
They made this decision that you, as Princess Peach, are going to be active and instrumental in your own rescue, right? You are doing all of this stuff that is sending information to Mario that he needs in order to perform these rescues adequately,
right?
And whatever. But the context of you doing this is like, oh well, I broke into somebody's room and read their diary, and then I tried on different dresses, and then I baked a cake, like. It's like, okay, what...
got spied on in the shower by an AI.
Sure. And it's, what, like, what is this, why is that there? Like, what do you think they were thinking? Oh, hey, why should the men be the only ones accomplishing anything here? Why can't we let the female character...
Bob-omb's female.
Bake us a cake.
Bombette.
Yeah, sure, okay.
I thought I was up to the until she joins your group. All of the NPCs that had become party members had blue as their like dominant color, and so there was a blue bomb on the screen. I was like, oh, I totally am getting a bomb on my team. And I was like,
I remembered it wrong. I thought it was the girl Koopa that was, or the girl Goomba that was going to come with you.
Girl Goomba is in Thousand Year Door.
Oh, okay.
She's your first party member.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you play that? Okay.
Yes, I did. Boy, a Nintendo 64 emulation, not ready for prime time.
Not really, no.
That is surprising to me. Maybe nobody cares because Nintendo 64 was bullshit.
Well, it's Ocarina of Time was on there. I mean, now you can play it on
that's a very good
modern,
game.
Modern
Ocarina
handheld.
Of Time is a very good
3DS
game.
Now,
Ocarina
so.
Of Time is a very good game. Looks like total ass.
Sure.
I can't play it anymore because it looks like ass.
This is a very good game. Paper Mario, very good game. A lot of systems, a lot of stuff going on. They're like a tremendous amount of flavor and flavor text that you can
like,
just not see if
you
don't want
it. The thing where
you
can invoke Goombario's like thing for him to just tell you something about the screen that you're on, there is just a sentence for every fucking screen in the game where he will tell you something about it. Like, there's,
or it's not even a sentence. Sometimes it's like three sentences.
If you go to Game Facts,
a lot.
You can just read, like, there's like just this huge text document with all the stuff that he will... I would recommend to you that even if you don't finish this, even if you don't keep playing it, go to Game Facts and just read about like all the badges and read about the way the combat system works and read about the items and the recipes, because it is just so well put together. Like there are some blind alleys in the crafting stuff. Like there are some, you know, things where you can waste a valuable thing to make a sort of a shitty thing. Or whatever. There's also some really amazing stuff that you can make. There's some control over the rarity of things that you get. Like, there are certain things that you can only ever get, like, a fixed number of.
There's, like, the goomb nuts or whatever that become pretty... Like they go from, like... Well, it's a thing that you get for free in, as far as I know, unlimited quantity. And they go from, like, 3 MP restore to 10 MP if you craft them once, if they get cooked once. I was like, wow, that's a... significant upgrade, especially since
but
all the other numbers
not,
are just one.
Still not worth sitting through all of dialogue boxes that you have to go through to get taste tea to cook something for you. Oh, there's the one part where you can make Princess Peach smoke a fat doobie.
What?
I'm assuming this is what's happening. You can walk her up to a mirror and interact with it, and she like stares into the mirror, and you see some puffs. Yeah. And I'm assuming that's because she's just blazing a fat doob and staring into the mirror while she looks at her own eyes.
Her eyes are really redder and redder.
Yeah. So that's pretty good. So I guess that's one thing that she does that's not like a typical female stereotypical
females
thing.
Females totally get high all the time.
I guess they do spark a lot of fat doobs in front of mirrors. I mean, if I was a girl, I would sit in front of a mirror sparking fat doobs and watching my eyes get red all day.
I liked that it seemed like there were a bunch of different mini games scattered around. There was the like shell game with like literally with a shell that you had to like figure out which tree it was in. There's the like it's not really a skill based mini game though, but where you like have to decide which blocks you're going to hit, and based on the order and the contents of the blocks, you can get better rewards and that kind of thing.
The writing, the localization is phenomenal. In this game, there is nothing. There are no like errors, There's nothing like real dumb. I mean, there's just like some jokes that don't necessarily fly, but their heart's in the right place. Like, I think that there was just a real good localization team working on that.
It's a lot of humor. It
will point out when you're sequence breaking. There's like in the second town. I got stuck here, and I was like, you know what? I'm not going to play very much further if I have to just keep running around trying to find the solution to this, so I'm just going to look at a walkthrough. And it's like, to get to the, you know, crime lord or whatever in the second town, you have to buy items in the shop in a certain order to get him to, like, know that you're, like, a friend of theirs.
Weird.
And you can do that without finding out that you're supposed to do that, and they will remark about, like, oh, that's weird. How did you know to do that?
Interesting.
Yeah. I thought it was cool.
So I started the game a couple times because my emulator did not have save states.
Wait, what?
When I first started playing it, I had not registered the emulator.
Oh.
So I did not have save states. So
wow, Macs suck.
When I turned it off, I had to start over again. And the first time I went, I just had like talked to a bunch of people in a certain order, and then I talked to them in a different order, and they said different things based on the state of the world. And like there is a tremendous amount of reactivity in the dialogue based on what you have done and what you are supposed to be doing. And I thought that was pretty impressive because it seems like every character has, you know, at least four or five different kinds of utterances based on the world state.
And the world state changes pretty significantly between chapters, too.
Within chapters and after chapters. It seems like there's a lot of attention to detail. And you're right, the systems are very tight.
Like, you see a badge that does a thing, you immediately understand what it means. And there are a lot of badges that fundamentally change the way that the game plays. 1 second.
Huh.
Yeah, I've been sneezing a lot since they stuck a knife into my nose and rearranged all my nose parts.
No, because you've got enough space in there for dust to get in.
Yeah, that's probably it.
My one real complaint, besides like, you know, the very minor niggles of like inventory management and that kind of thing, is that I did not really find the combat fun.
That's because there's something wrong with you in the head.
It's like, it gets extremely repetitive because once you figure out how to beat a particular kind of enemy, there's very little that is new about that. Like, they throw enemies in different combinations and numbers at you, which it becomes a little bit interesting. But then if you ever accidentally have to go backtrack and fight the same group of enemies, it's not a new puzzle.
There is a thing that Etrian Odyssey 3 did to help that I thought was pretty smart, because Etrian Odyssey 3 is the same sort of, or even more simple sort of Dragon Warrior style combat where you just see like the three or four sprites representing the monsters across the screen, right, and your guys are just a menu at the bottom. But in that game, instead of dropping gold, all the monsters drop vendor trash, and then the vendor trash, besides being sold for money, the shopkeeper keeps it all, and then you use it as ingredients for upgrading your weapons. And the most valuable and useful pieces of vendor trash only drop when you kill monsters in specific ways. Like you might have to deal the finishing blow with a specific element, or you might have to never hit that guy with fire. A specific type of weapon or with fire or something like that.
And does it give you some sort of a checklist so that you know what you've tried? Because I could see that making it kind of interesting. If
you can get a checklist of what objects you have managed to get to drop off of guys, and then it has the question marks for to let you know that this guy dropped
something. Does it tell you
it's
burnt hobo dick, and so you know that you maybe want to try killing the hobo with
sometimes
fire?
Sometimes it's named like that, and sometimes there's a guy in the bar who will tell you how some of them work, but not all of them. And so, when you're fighting, you have to be more aware of the order that your guys are likely to act in so that you know that which guy is going to be able to deal the final blow and things
like that. What that says to me, though, is that what that system wants is a bunch of different puzzles built into the interface to make the fights continually compelling. And maybe the fights should just be compelling to begin with because they should be arcade-y style fights instead of turn-based, menu-driven fights.
But some people find turn-based, menu-driven fights to be compelling.
Yeah.
I guess.
I mean, I don't in general. I don't like Final Fantasy I, but,
I would not choose them, but I don't mind them. I don't know. They're, meditative.
I think I played Chrono Trigger and Chrono Cross and was really into them, and I don't know why
there's a lot going on. I mean, they're
as much.
The fights in that game are fewer and more engaging than most turn-based.
Chrono Cross had that weird element sphere that you had to keep track of, so you probably
Chrono Cross I never found that interesting. Could deal with that. It was just so ugly and confusing.
Yeah.
Even with my complaint about not really being into the combat system, I kind of want to keep playing it, you know?
It's good.
It is good. And I want to know more about it, you know?
I learned a harsh lesson about addiction playing this. Yeah, I was like, all right, the emulator has all these built-in cheats.
Oh, right.
And I want to be able to equip all of my badges at once. And so I just was like, all right, I'll just turn on infinite badge points. But then turning on infinite badge points made it so whenever I leveled up, the game locked up because it didn't know. I'm sure it was just trying to do some math for figuring out what badge upgrade to offer me, and it was out of bounds. And so then I had already saved and overwritten my save state after I turned that cheat on, so I was just stuck in that. If I wanted to, I could start over if I wanted, but I'm like, well, fuck. Now I guess I need to turn on this cheat for, don't earn any experience, but then I'm never going to get any more hit points or flower points, so I guess I have to turn on this cheat for infinite hit points and flower points. And then at that point, I was like, well, I've already turned on most of these cheats. Why don't I just turn on all of these cheats? Yeah, sure, 999 points. Yeah, what? Give me all the stars power. Just fuck it.
Did you also get all the, automatically get all the badges and all the skills and stuff?
No. Okay. No, I wanted to play it, I wanted to play it. I didn't want to have to, spend time running back to town to buy healing mushrooms or whatever.
Right. Well, the worst part is going, buying a healing mushroom, then having it cooked into something else so that it's slightly better and more optimal. The optimizer in me cringes at a lot of the behaviors that it sort of wants. It seems like it wants you to do.
Yeah, but I think that a lot of that was just they thought it would be cool for there to be these recipes in there and didn't necessarily think people have to do whatever best.
The balance
ROI.
Seems to be easy enough where you don't have to do anything like that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just super. It's friendly and whimsical, and man, it's a fucking good game.
Yep, I agree.
So, what was the third one called?
There wasn't a third one.
There was Sticker Star.
No, there was Super Super Paper Mario, but that wasn't real.
Okay, maybe that's the one I'm thinking.
It was just
that. It was just in one of your dreams.
That was the one on the Wii.
The one on the Wii, yeah. That was a platform. It had no RPG elements to speak of, and I don't think I ever even really played through it. It had the you'd turn the world sideways. Right. It had that sort of fez elements.
Yeah, it had that. Yeah. It was pretty good, as I recall.
Yeah. It did not deserve the Paper Mario name, nor did Sticker Star. And
you know who else doesn't have the Paper Mario name? Corey, one of our Kickstarter backers.
Oh, good. Oh,
yeah. Well, it's just as good that they've got their own name then.
Yes.
Corey.
Yeah.
Thanks, Corey.
Yeah, thanks, Corey.
Thori. So, next assignment, I would like for us to play Waking Mars, because that is a game that I want to play anyway.
It is a good game. It is a game that...
Have you beaten it already?
No, I got about halfway through. Unfortunately, I think I've destroyed my save since then, so I'll have to start over.
It is available on iOS, on Android, on Mac, Linux,
PC. Because I deleted the app in favor of clearing space for other apps.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
What is wrong with you?
How large is your space phone or iPad or whatever?
I don't know. It's like 64.
Put an SD card in it.
Do you not back it up?
Well, yeah.
Hook it up to a USB hard drive.
It still deletes your save info when you... I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Take it on the space shuttle. Expose it to cosmic radiation.
It is currently 25% off on Steam.
Yep.
And use that new state much of matter they discovered at MIT your storage density.
All of the app review sites I read have been putting it at, like, their best or... In the best 10 of the year, yeah.
You could delete some of your eye porn.
Ooh. What?
Nah, I guess
you can. Close-up pictures of anime eyes? Oh, yeah.
Just a cow's eyeball just sitting on a plate.
High-speed camera film, individual stills of somebody's eye getting more and more red as they blaze a fat doobie. Anyway, that's what we're going to do while playing Waking Mars. More like Baking Mars, am I right?
Oh.
All right. We're not going to do any listeners' mail because
it's almost 2 hours now.
We're super long already. But Kevin, if somebody wanted to send us a question or a comment or a missive or a tantrum, how would they go about doing that?
Well, they could tweet at us at VGHotDog. They could email us VGHotDog@gmail.com. Or they could check out our forums, available from a link on videogameshotdog.com.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to Video Games Hot Dog. We'll see you next week. Mm-hmm. Until then, keep your hand on your crotch and keep reaching for a beer.
Splash.
Have a great week, everybody. Why would they have a fake? Did Sprite?
Because
like,
it was
burst
saying
in?
That like we don't do any of this stupid bullshit. Like because it was about like how Sprite we don't have like collect 50 cans and get a free helicopter or whatever. Like like
I want a free helicopter for 50 cans of soda. They're $1,000 a can, but you know they're also scattered around the globe. There's only 50 of them.
Wow. So this like wow this is really, that's a pretty good puzzle. Also, each of the cans of soda is stored inside part of a helicopter.
Right.
So, also the helicopter runs on human blood. So this is going to get super weird.
Yeah, this is a complicated contest.
Yeah. And see, Sprite doesn't do any of that shit. Just obey your thirst.